Okay, we continue with the Bilvavi on page Kuf Pei Ches. We're past the halfway mark, chapter 18. And the Tzaddik is telling us that the thing that holds us back in every aspect of service to Hashem is that point of Ratzon, of really wanting that next thing. And he gives an The clip is on this side of the page. Okay. Kuf Pei Zayin. Sorry. Kuf Pei Zayin. About the fifth paragraph, starting with the word Omnom. Okay. So again, the idea is our tefillas have to be that we should truly want to be close to Hashem. And he says it could take a long time for a person to be on this level, and a person has to be very stubborn on this. And we gave, right, and then he said, basically there's three ways to develop this wanting. Either you beat yourself up on it, which most people aren't that good at, you daven for it, or at worst, go to tzaddikim who will speak strongly to you that you will be able to do this. And so if you can't do it yourself, they'll help you. However, now he adds that don't think that any aspect, the first or the third, is without the second aspect. And that's what he says next. He says, Omnom, olav ladas, truly a person needs to know, kizoi rak haschola saderech, that's only the beginning of the path. Going to the tzaddik and hearing what the tzaddik has to say, and having hearing his words that should help you to want to develop this ratzon, he says, it's only the beginning. You can't finish your path in life by just listening to speeches. No matter even the best ones and the ones that are exactly the kind you should be listening to, that's not the end of the road. The listening only is meant to arouse the inner wanting. So the person can move forward in his avoda. But the person now has to pick it up from where it's left and move forward. These are the three general ways that a person can arouse his ratzon. So and as he will add, all of these always have to come out to tefillah. There's no such thing as, you know, just the second method is by davening for it. And the third method you don't need, and the first method you don't need it. You're going to need it for all of them. And there's a certain amount that you have to be able to do on your own. So he moves on to the next subcategory. Pnimis haratzon hu oinig. The inner point of yearning is the pleasure. Now we get into really deep waters. Let's hope we can get out of it. But it's very important ideas that they're going to be hard to assimilate. Vine. As we said, a person has a natural way to make himself, to stoke himself, and to feel bad about where he's deficient. And that bitter feeling doesn't hold back the simcha that should come afterwards. Ashrav is fortune for that fellow. Fortune for such a fellow. That bitterness, you know, just is in that one location to get him to break his heart of stone that doesn't want to be close to Hashem. That's good. If you can do that, and you're one of the very few people, that's amazing. Next page, Kuf Peches. Etzem amrimus al-kach sh'adam l'rotza l'iskarev l'bari olam z'el tikkun godol avuro. The essential bitterness that you feel that over the fact that you don't want to be close to Hashem, that is a great tikkun for you. It's a great correction. But still, Yacharim Zos, he's still in all with that. Gametzel Adam Kazelo, Dibrim Mislavadov. Even such a person is not enough, that bitter feeling. Velav Lava Gamalachelik Shell, you have to work on the other part of Vasei Tov and do good. Sur Me Ra, stay away from evil, Vasei Tov and do good. Which means, Lespala Kodesh Baruch Hashikar, also. Shidavin Hashem that he should help you succeed and to get close. But Bechinas, as the Gemara says, the idea when you're dealing with a student or someone who's far away. Small docha, the left pushes off because it's weaker. V'yamin makarevis, and the right hand brings close. So Mishieshul Kvaras has small doch, if somebody already has the left hand pushing off, which is that self-afflicted mortification. Tzorach lahamshich es hakoach shol yamin makareves. He has to bring forth the strength of the right bringing close, which is, comes from what? Hachelik shol abakoshem HaKadosh Baruch Hu lirtzos hizkarav elav yisparach. That part that we request from Hashem, that you want to be close to Hashem. Hainu chelik echrechi, that is a part that must be in your avoda, umiyud l'cholet v'echad, and it's destined that each one has to use. So at the end of the day, no matter what is going to be your game plan, the game plan must have tefillah in it, as we've said so many times. You can't succeed in anything without having Hashem to help you. You can't even succeed in a diet without you davening to Hashem. Right? Everything has to be with Hashem's help. Kimiduma, now here's the global point, and this line now, it appears. Hanakuda shemanasas haskadnu sa'odam b'cholcholke avodah t'muna b'avodah zushal nakuda sarotz. It appears that the point that prevents a person from moving ahead in any of his services of Hashem, not only in this yira of Shlemus, it's buried in this avoda of the point of desire, of wanting. Right? It's not coming from a lack of understanding how important the concept is. Certainly you have to have that. If you don't have that, you're never going anywhere. But that's not the ultimate point. You can always educate people. You can always get people to understand an idea. But for them to want that idea, even if they understand it, that is always the stumbling block. You always have to get past that, no matter how well you understand how much you need to do this. Right? We all understand. And it's not a shy. No one in the room is going to say that, no, I believe we should speak Lashon Hara. I'm a staunch advocate. Speaking Lashon Hara is good for society. Right? Nobody's going to say that. You don't need any more shmuzim on it. So what's going to stop you to speak Lashon Hara? You got to really want to stop. And if you're not going to really want to stop, it isn't going to happen. But there's other things. But all the other things come out of the fact that you really want to stop. You have such a strong ratzon, and therefore you'll create a support group to not speak Lashon Hara, and therefore you'll do this, and therefore you'll do that, and all those other steps along the way. But it's got to start with a strong ratzon. And he says, every area where we don't go ahead is because we don't have the strong ratzon for that. So he gives examples. A person works on his davening. He says, my davening isn't so good. I'm going to start working on it. I want my davening to be better. So what does he do? He lomed his divrei chazal. He gets a sefer. So the rabbi says, here, try this sefer. Right? So he starts learning the sefer. He reads what the rabbis say about prayer. Umakir b'amitas hadvarim. He mamish recognizes how true it is. And he hears about all the amazing things that prayer can do for a person. It's unbelievable stuff. Wow, that's all that's going on by prayer. Yeah, you mamish are doing incredible things. But they only remain as intellectual understanding. And why does he fail? Why does he fail after a couple of weeks? He's lacking that strong, true desire to implement what he's learning about davening. He tries for a week or two, he doesn't succeed. And of course, b'fiv yeshnam kama kama terusim. In his mouth, there's all kinds of excuses. What's the main problem? He started on the project before he truly wanted it. He didn't really want, he doesn't really want to be such a big expert in davening and to have such a great davening. So he's chus gedolam. That's a big merit for a person to really want something. That wanting by him is alive and it's burning and it's strong. Okay, so that is really the most critical point of all, how badly you really want it. Dugma pshuta l'inenu, a simple analogy, a simple example to what we're talking about. It's a really beautiful example. Yedua shegedoyle atzadikim lo bitlu afilu rega mismanu. We know that tzadikim never wasted a moment of their time. Every second was oiskecheshbent, was all accounted for. They were the biggest accountants in the world. They accounted for every second of their lives. Right? The Chavetz Chaim philosophically did not wear laced shoes. Why? Because he made a calculation that over an entire lifetime it would spend it would take him 420 hours to tie his shoes. Right? Over a lifetime. 420 hours, which is, you know, about a week and a half. Almost 2 weeks of my life is gone. So I wear slip-ons. Finished. Now, who would ever think that way? Right? Who would ever think that way, right? The other tzaddikim, you know, certain tzaddikim, they had like everything figured out. Certain tzaddikim, like they would daven v'sikin at the kotel, and then they'd have to walk from the kotel to the bus stop, and they understood, so everybody knew, certain tzaddikim, okay, the time it takes me to go from the kotel till the bus stop, that's when I'll entertain strangers who want to talk to me and ask me shilas. Yes, whatever, it's 10 minutes, whatever it is. You know, he calculated it should take 10 minutes till the bus comes or whatever. And then people would come. And when they'd start to come. As soon as the 10 minutes was up, he said, finished. I'm sorry, I got to go on to the next thing that I have planned for my day because I got to start thinking of other things. And the time's up. That's it. Like that's it. Time. It's like an inner clock. You know, if for whatever reason it took a little longer to get to the bus, because once it's on the bus, then there's another thing he's working on. Whatever. He's planning his shear or whatever. It's like incredible. You find, I was just reading Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, his biography. Like every single thing he did, he thought it out four or five different ways, and it was all happening so, processing so fast. You know, every little thing, like from about money, about helping people, this, that. He's like, it's all just there, and it's just, and it's not like just spends a few minutes idly chatting. Like he makes a cheshbon, you know, should I go to this bar mitzvah? Should I not go to this bar mitzvah? You know, do I? Oh, he would never just do something just for doing it. It had to be part of what is. So now you think of these. So that's what I say. Talmid hoyu asukim b'Torah. They were constantly either learning Torah, ba'avoda, or davening, or doing chesed. They did nothing else but that. And they would even like be anxious about it. In other words, you know, oi, the Gemara class not starting on time. You know, it's like that trepidation that oh, it's not going to work. You know, so. People, Hakol Nasim Tov Shikul Das Bor. Everything was done with such exacting decision making. Kamas Man Tzarach L'daber. How long should I talk? Imagine a Godel goes and pays a sick visit. He just says, go and pay the sick visit, and we'll see how the time goes. He says, you know what? For this mitzvah, I should be spending X amount of minutes because I got in respect to everything else in my avodas Hashem, I allocate whatever 15 minutes. For this mitzvah. And I know it's going to take me 10 minutes to get there, 10 minutes to the next place, 50, that's all I should allocate for this mitzvah. Well, other people say, yeah, go, we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see how the wind blows me. See who calls me on the cell, then I'll know what the next thing I should do. You know, like that again, that whole cell phone idea is like, you're not in control of your time. You're not in control of your time. I'm in control of my time. No one's going to bug me unless I want to be bugged. You know, I don't need people to call me that I have to answer when they want me to answer. I'm not an ER person, right? You know, I need to talk to the rabbi. You know what? You could talk to me half an hour later. Really, you can. You don't have to. It's extreme. And if you really, really need to talk to me, you'll find a way to get a hold of me. So the real emergencies, I'm not 2 days late on. Not even 10 minutes late. But, you know, but there's no real emergency. I can't wait a half an hour. Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing in the world. But we're all used to getting it right away. That's the problem. I ain't going to get sucked into that. You want to get sucked into that and not be in control of your life? That's your problem. It's because you don't value what your life is worth. So you let everybody interrupt your life. I'm not saying you can't have a cell phone. Some jobs warrant having a cell phone. You want to take a cell phone that, you know, in case, you know, you judiciously have it on and off. You know, I'm going downtown. And I'm going to a place where I won't have a phone, so it'll save me time that instead of running around to a pit, because I know when I'm downtown at 2 o'clock, I have to make a call. You know? No, like, I know. Today I have to be in certain places. I have to be in certain places. And I know a certain time. So I take the family cell phone. It's sitting in the car right now, off. And I know at about 1 o'clock, that's when I turn it on. And I make the call to decide if I go to the next place. And then it's off. I own the cell phone. The cell phone doesn't own me. Okay? I own it. And I don't need and if chas v'shalom, lo aleinu, a member dies, you know, chas v'shalom, while I'm in that place, guess what? An hour later, I can deal with it, and nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change. Believe me, as much as people can't believe it, nothing is going to change. Right? This idea that, no, if I call, you have to be there that minute. No, it doesn't. I call a lot of rabbis, I gotta wait. You know what? And you know, bigger rabbis, and I gotta wait, and you know, it ain't the end of the world. We're so used to, I have to have it right away. No, it's, you know, Jeanette's in the office, there's other people, it's my wife's around. You can titzach and eitzah for a little while. Just like I have to titzach and eitzah if I need something right away, and I get used to it, I don't get what I want right away. And once you get used to that, then you could learn to live your life properly. You learn to live very. So you have to have every minute is cheshbent, right? That one second, that's what he's saying. How much time it needs to take, right? Kama mutalas aleihem chovas hakoras hatovim yodim. How much gratitude they have to have for people. That's in Rav Schneur Zalman's story. I don't remember the details, but it was like one story. Should he go to a certain wedding or not? And he decided not to go to a person's son's wedding. Bar mitzvah. It was a bar mitzvah. They said, I'm an old man. I can't go to the bar mitzvah. Really, I'll have to say no. But then they saw him come to the bar mitzvah. Got to remember, going to Bar Mitzvah Yisrael, when Rav Shlomo Zalman was 80 years old plus, right? For him to go from where he lives to where the Bar Mitzvah is, it could be a 15-minute walk, and for him, that's the time, 15 minutes back. So he said, you know, I'm an old man, I really can't. I can't make it. I'm really sorry, I'd like to, but I can't. Then they see he's at the Bar Mitzvah. He says, what did you come to the Bar Mitzvah for? He says, I realized later that it was at the two older brothers' Bar Mitzvah, and if I don't go to this one, the kid will for sure feel bad. And he weighed and said, then, you know, even though I have better things to do, but you know what, to hurt somebody's feelings, that's not better things. So that's unbelievably thought out. Right? And when you should do a chesed to alleviate the burden of somebody's tzaras, he should forget about his troubles. These people are well thought out. Yes, I'm in the middle, but go ahead, Larry. What does it matter?
It does matter because there's something called chat. You're talking intellectually.
Okay, so.
But realistically, hashkafta pratis, stuff comes up. I mean, stuff you don't know,
But you don't need to let everything come up. You go down. If I'm going downtown, I'm going to do one of three things. I'm going to either put a Torah tape in so I could learn something. Because when else can I learn without being disturbed when I'm in the car? Nobody can get a hold of me when I'm in the car. So I have enough tapes to make sure. And then if I have any spare time, guess what I do? What the tzaddik says. Cheshbon HaNefesh. Think about my life. When do I have time to think about my life? Talk to Hashem. Right?
What?
So that's what I'm planning. I'm planning when I'm in that car, I'm going to either listen to the tape, do this, and if I want, if something comes up, I'll take the cell, I'll turn it on, and then I'll call somebody, because it's something I feel I need to tell somebody. I'm in control. That's the whole idea. I'm in control.
You know what? It's
when I'm davening, the cell phone, you know, shouldn't even come in here. You know, if a person's going to a shir, for example, you're going to learn. Are you going to learn or are you not going to learn? Let's try to understand. Well, you know, I'll learn unless there's something better that will come up. So what?
So then what do? You have that hour planned. You were going to be at that shir. Now you have to like quickly change.
Okay, so you have backups. You have backups. Okay.
So, you know,
it doesn't come to the shir, it gets time to meditate a little bit. It's fine to have backups. The point, I don't understand your point, and therefore what?
The point is that, you know, you're saying you've got to be totally in control of your life. And in another sense, you're saying God's in control of your life. All you can do is react.
You are coming in with a game plan. Of course Hashem can always change the game plan. Of course Hashem in the middle of my trip can give me a flat tire, lowling. Okay, so then Hashem can change my game plan. I don't have to leave myself open to just let every wind that blows change my game plan. That's the difference. You know, when you keep the phone off, you're in control. I'm not saying there's a time where mamish you're expecting a real important call. You know, you're going to the airport to pick somebody up. Okay, and you want to have the cell phone. They'll call you when they've arrived so you know should you, like last night, I had to pick up Goldie and Hanan. So we had the cell phone, we had it off, and then as we're getting close to the airport, we turned it on, we just called them and said, where are you? And they said, you know, we're just entering the thing. You can just wait outside for us. That saves a half an hour. So I'm saying you have to train people how to use a cell phone. It's not something you have the cell phone use it. You give a cell phone to little teenagers, they plop, 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 plop the whole time. There's no control. You have to learn there's a control how to use it. And as adults, you don't learn, you know, you grow up to be adults who plop, 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 plop the whole time as well. You go into a class, you don't bring the cell phone in. Finished. You know? And don't say you turn it off because everybody forgets to turn it off. I'm just saying.
We're all in the service industry. You're in the service industry. You want people to ask you shilas.
So you know what? And that's fine. So when they ask me a shila, I have email. I don't think anybody could ever say that 24 hours passed they didn't get answered. Most don't even say 12 hours passed, and most people get an answer right away. But when that's emails on is in my computer, I decide when I want to look at it. And I'm not going to decide I'm not going to look at emails for a week. There are certain people you know. It's days till they get back to you, if they get back to you. I say, this is the time I look at the emails. I can designate even 10 times a day, but it's when I want to look at it. I finished preparing the Gemara class. Now I have time to look at the emails for 10 minutes. Let's see what came. I looked at that, and I already know what the next thing has to be, what's going on. Right? So you got email, you got my wife, you got my second wife, Jeanette, you got, you know, I'm just saying, I'm just, you know, in terms of the other things, right? Right? And then, you know, it's not hard to get a hold of. It's not, you know, but everyone has to get right. No, this whole idea, people have to be trained. You don't have to get what you want right away. That's an anti-Torah idea. You know, I want it now. Why didn't the rabbi answer me now? You know why? Because you're not God. That's why.
But you know, rabbi, in the working world, it doesn't
work that way. So it's unfortunate that you're in jail. And you should know and recognize you're in Mitzrayim. And you should know it's a klola. And that's what Hashem said. It's a klola. You're living a klola. So guess what? So when you're working, you're living with the klola. But when you're out of that job, get rid of it. And if you have a job, besides being a rabbi, that means 24 hours you have to be involved in servicing somebody's computer, you're in the wrong job. You shouldn't be in that job. Hashem does not want you to do that. You shouldn't take that kind of a job.
I'm not saying I do 24 hours. I'm just saying that you wouldn't be in that
when position. When you're there, those are the hours you're there. And if you're in a place where if they're going to call you at 3 in the morning and you're not there to answer for them right away at 3 in the morning... You know, Hashem did not designate that you had to suffer that way. That's your choice. Hashem decided you're going to get the parnasa with or without that job. If you so believe that that's the way it is, and that's deterring your avodah Hashem, that's your decision. Okay, so even a doctor on call budgets his time accordingly. You're a doctor on call, you budget. If part of the job is, fine. Then if you're a doctor on call, you know, you don't plan certain types of activities that you know can be disrupted. But there's times when the doctor's not on call. No doctor's on call 7 days a week. And if he is 24/7, he's not the kind of doctor Hashem wants him to be. Right? You're not on call all day long. Right? Okay, every other weekend. Okay, every other weekend. That's what it is. Cell phone's gone the other 13 days. That's all. I'm not splitting hairs. You're splitting. I mean, you have to know it's used way too much, and it's destroying your avodas Hashem. The phone. You can't see it. It sucks into your life. It sucks into it, and everybody figures the more I'm called, the more chashuv I am. The more people call me, I'm an important guy. In the middle of a shir, you think the rabbi's important. I'm more important. People need me in the middle of the shir. Yes, dear, I'll get the eggs. Okay, mom is your hush of a guy. You're a hush of a guy. People go to their Blackberries at 3 in the morning. Maybe I got a text message. Maybe I'm hush of. Yeah, yeah. I'm saying a tzaddik has everything oiske cheshbon. He doesn't have these things get in his way. All right. Anyway. But, yes, Rafal.
I know that this is only not directly near me, but I hear two different things. Like he's giving you the example of the tzaddik who has everything carefully planned out.
I didn't even get to the main point yet.
I'm trying to get to the point. I think we all live with this challenge. But he has 10 minutes to get to the bus. But what if the bus driver said, you know what, I don't need to go there. I don't need to fulfill that role. And that bus driver's 10 minutes late. Or you talk about you're going down, you make your call at 1:30 to know if you have to be at that meeting, but the person that you're calling has decided, you know what, I'm not going to take that call for the next half an hour because I feel that there's
So that's fine. Then I'll know. I wasn't supposed to go to that meeting then. That's all.
If the bus doesn't come. You've got to work out your time absolutely precisely. But that's your world. If you're intersecting with other people
and therefore, Rav Aaron Cutler always walked wherever he went with a Mishnah Berurah in his hand. Even though most people say he never opened it. Mm-hmm. He never opened it once. So was he playing a game? He's not playing a game. That was his backup. If there would ever be a minute that it didn't go according to plan, he knew one thing, I'm learning Mishnah Berurah. That can never be wrong. Can never, never be wrong. So if you're planning, you always have a backup plan. You say, I'm going downtown if I need to. If not, then I know I'm doing that instead. That's all. And that's the Ratzon Hashem. If not, then I know I'm going back to the default mode, which is also a worthwhile thing. The other thing I was going to plan maybe to do tomorrow, so I'll do it today instead. And readjust the plan, but it's always with a thought, as opposed to you're going to a meeting and you're there early, and then you're waiting. So you pick up a magazine to pollute your brain, because you got 15 minutes for this, or you got to check all the calls to see how chashuv you are, right? Where if you would have brought the little Mishnah Berurah with you, you know you got 15 minutes of learning in the bank, right then and there. Okay, I can't. You know, it's not. I can't instruct everyone how to do it. It's a mindset. It's a mindset of saying, am I accounting for my minutes properly? And there's more efficient ways of accounting for your minutes and less efficient ways for accounting for your minutes. Right? You come Thursday night to Kolo, right? What are you going to do if your chavrus is not there? Do you have a backup plan? Or you just, you know, I just walk and we'll see what happens. Right, you always have to have a backup plan. If this doesn't work, then I'm working on that thing. I'm not going to waste any time. Now, okay, did I answer the question?
Let me a little bit like the example about going to visit.
I don't know what's bothering everybody here. It's like did I touch a sacred cow with the cell phone? I think I touched a sacred cow.
But you want to visit someone who's sick, and you say, okay. 10 minutes to get there, I'll spend 15 minutes with them, and 10 minutes to get my next, and you have it all planned out. But it sounds to me like if you're going to visit someone who's sick or you're going to a shiva house, you know you're not going to spend hours and hours, but to spend, well, okay, it's 6:30, okay, well, talk to the person, 50 minutes are up, okay, hope you feel better, and goodbye. It's cold and calculated, as opposed to you're going to do the mitzvah, do it with a warm heart, not...
No, so the warm heart starts before you walk in and says, how much, how much, no. If you're saying, because I have other things to do. If you don't have anything better to do, there's a lot of people, okay, let's be honest, a lot of people go to shiva houses, you know, and they really don't have anything scheduled afterwards. A lot of people. I'm not saying you, a lot of people, right? But you know, listen, going to shiva house is part of my Avodas Hashem today. I still have to daven Marv. I still have to learn. I still have to this, still have to do that. And because I care about this person, I'm going to pay a shiva call. Now, what would the Torah want me? How much empathy is required? And how much time will that generally need? Right? Right? And therefore, you know, a shiva call is not 2 hours. It's not. That's not what it is. No, you can't. I'm not saying, you know, 15 minutes, 14 minutes. Okay, I'm not. Okay, but I'm saying, you realize I'm there. There's a way to do a shiva call. You wait, they talk, you respond, you give them words of comfort, and then you move on. Okay? I'm not saying by the Shiva call you can calculate exactly 14 minutes and 30 seconds. Right? The, by the tzaddik there, I'm saying he takes questions for 10 minutes, then he has to do the next thing. So you know this is going to be this kind of a visit. You could say it's going to be between 15 and 20 minutes. Of course, I'm not saying you put the stopwatch. I'm not saying you put the stopwatch. But there are certain tzaddikim is... There are certain tzaddikim who even lived with a stopwatch. The Ger Rebbes, like the mom, dad, certain Rebbes had a watch. They said, I can give an hour for the Jewish people. Right? An hour I can listen to people with their sufferings and for me to, but more than a, cause you know why? Cause a tzaddik could spend a whole day on it. There's gotta be something to stop you. As important as the Shiva visit is, you have to have some kind of internal clock saying, I don't stay here longer than I should. And there is a certain amount of that you should have. You have to be sensitive before you walk in saying, okay, now you could say, this person went through a terrible tragedy. I'm going to have to allocate more time when I go here. But do that before you walk in as you're planning the day. That's what you're doing. You're being compassionate because you've allocated the time. And when you've allocated the time, you're not walking in with the cell phone. And how people in the Shiva house are answering cell phones. If I'm going to give you a Shiva visit, you have all of me. And before I walk in, I can determine how much of all of me are you going to get based on what I think the Torah says I should be doing here. That calculating isn't cold. Calculating is understanding you're using God's time the best way you know how to use it. Right? I'm not saying, you know, things God can now bring something up to change your schedule. Now you have to think and say, okay, this was my schedule. Something new came in. What does Hashem want me to do? Does he want me to change my schedule? Does he want me to not change my schedule? You know, then you, but it's all with a calculation. It's not with, you know, well, whatever comes my way, that's what's going to be for the day. You know, no, Hashem says, I want you to plan out. Can you imagine if you did that? You'd never daven, you'd never learn, never do anything. Hashem says, plan out the day the way I would want you to plan the day. Now, God says, and if I make changes, just learn to adapt to those changes. That's all. I think it shows you care more when you walk in and you know, this is how much time I want to spend. You don't make a standard amount for Shiva calls. Say, this person, they lost a 3-year-old child. You know what? This is going to need an hour call. But I know that walking in it needs an hour. Not that I didn't think about it. I don't know how much. I have other things too. And then 20 minutes into it, I'm already looking at my watch and I'm torn and I'm this. And my mind isn't there because I know I have to be somewhere else because I didn't calculate it. If you think, I know this going to, you know what? I normally at 10:30 have to be here, but I got to do this Shiva call. And it's the last session. And I got to do it today. And I got to go at 9:30. And that means it's going to take more. That means, you know what? I'm going to have to push aside the other thing that's later. And I'm not going to get anxious about it. And I've rechanged it. And now they've got my full hour. And you know, and if they're still brokenhearted, you know, that's all I can give them. Because there's other parts to my avodas Hashem that I cannot neglect. You can't let any one thing monopolize your brain more than what Hashem would want you to monopolize. And there's other people say, well, I don't know what happened. I sat there 3 hours in the Shiva. What were you sitting 3 hours in the Shiva? I lost track of time. You know, a person who has a cheshbon doesn't lose track of time. You don't lose track of time. Yeah? Yeah?
I think what we're dealing here is, at least for me, is like you're talking about Hashem said that you should calculate, you know, how much time you're going to spend.
No, the Torah teaches you how to do a Shiva visit, and you should understand how much time it should take.
Well, for example, yesterday I did a Bikur Kol thing. What I didn't realize was that I had a commitment to go somewhere else earlier than I had thought. And so I
that was your problem. Why didn't you realize you had it there?
Okay.
Why didn't you think about it? Before you do one mitzvah, what's my day looking? You got a day planner, plan your day. So you already made the first mistake. That can be corrected, especially now with all these machinkas that you got at your disposal. I mean, now that I finally, after years, I understand that in my Outlook or whatever, there's a calendar there. I didn't know that for years. Nobody told me. Got the calendar, now it's great. It's great. It's so much easier to calculate. I figure, okay, I have to pay a shiva call. I put it into the thing. This is the spot. Wait, I can't do it then because I got another commitment that I put over there. Okay, I guess I'll have to make it at a different time.
Okay, fine. On that example, I guess my point I was getting at is that, so fine, I left after 20 minutes, but I got the sense that the person wanted 30. Like his need was 30, not 20.
You know what? That's fine, but I'm sorry, I can't facilitate everybody's needs. It's not cold. What if mincha is then?
It's a different story. It's a different story.
No, it's not a different story.
Because the mincha is a set time. Here you're talking with a lot of flexibility.
So you have to say, when you're going, take that into consideration. This could be between 20 and 30 minutes. Okay, if it only warrants less, I'll have a little extra time, but if it warrants, don't schedule in things back to back to back, not giving yourself that kind of time. Person has to think, it's all pre-planning.
That's his whole point.
You know, you got to realize, because every part of your avoda is important. As the day goes by, you have to accomplish certain things. You could spend all day visiting sick people. God doesn't want you to do that. Only part of your day. Remember the rule. For every yes, there is a no. And there's so many guys that the no is their Torah learning, their avodas Hashem in these areas, because they have so many yeses for everything else. If you know, Michael, in your day, Michael Friedman can't let the day go by without 3 or 4 hours of learning Torah. And it has to be in that schedule. Guess what? The rest of your schedule is going to have to change. But if you don't come in saying, where are the 3 hours? You have to sit down, whatever. Muncie Shabbos, I got a week ahead. Where am I going to put the 3-4 hours of Torah? That's part of what I have to do. I got to put in other things. Then you got to prioritize. You got to ask Shilas, which people have problems with, right? And you got to say, and this is how the day is going to look. And as much as I want to spend more on the Shiva calls, I can't, because God says I have to know Torah.
Sort of arrogant in terms of you vis a Hashem.
Why?
Because Hashem's communicating to you.
Wait a minute, wait. You're missing the first step. No, you skipped the first step. I'm dedicated to God, and He runs my life.
Well, yeah.
And since He runs my life, He says, I want you to calculate your day. Don't come to work. You go to work every day. It's called working for God. And God says, what do you got planned for today? And if you don't come with plans, that means you don't care about your job. Right? You know, you have to daven 3 times a day. That's not your choice. That's not being arrogant. I have to daven a minyan 3 times a day. Where is it in my schedule? Well, I don't know. I'll see which. That means you don't care about the job. It's not arrogant. No, it's not, because Hashem wants you, if you do what Hashem wants you to do it, that's not arrogant. Hashem, I have to figure a way in my entire day, how am I going to daven in a minyan 3 times a day, and I calculate the time. You have to. Well, I'm just going to daven 3 times a day. And then you know what happens? You don't daven 3 times a day with a minyan, because you didn't calculate. I know I got to be at Mincha at 1:30. My whole day revolves around what God demands of me. And if I don't calculate, I won't be at Minyan at 1:30. Today I know I have to be at Minyan at 1:30, right? So now, I got classes here till 10:30. I got to go downtown for something. And I got to do something else along the way. And I know I got to be at Mincha at 1:30. Because why? Not because I'm arrogant, because Hashem wants me at 1:30. If I don't make it at 1:30, everything else isn't going to work. And why do I want to be at Mincha 1:30? Not for me. Since the Almighty wants me to be there at 1:30. More than that. And if I'm not there, the man ain't even a minion at 1:30. Right? So now, if I got to do that, how's the rest of the day going to fit in there? Well, guess what? Somebody needs a Bikur Chaim call. It ain't happening in the morning. You know why? Because this morning, everything's calculated. Guess what? The person's going to get visited tomorrow. Well, there isn't such pressure on me. I have no arrogance. I only have the thing. Hashem, I know this is what you want from me. This is my best effort in trying to do everything you want me to do in the day. That is not arrogance. Now, Hashem could say, thank you so much for what you planned. Guess what? As much as that's a good plan, I'm bringing something up that is more important than your good plan. Then you have to be a cheshbon person, and you have to have a little bit of Torah understanding. Say, is this something that I should do? Is this something that I shouldn't do? And that's part of God's testing you to see, is this something you just change the plans or not? You know? And a lot of times it's narishkeiten. Oh, we forgot. It's Rachel's second birthday, and we're making a whole big birthday party. Dear, I'm sorry, you know, it isn't in the cheshbon. That isn't warranting, or maybe it is, depending on how you think it through. But if you already have a plan, then the new things, they now become weighed. And Hashem wants part of your avodah, weigh it out. Do you think this was an important thing? Was this not? Maybe it's an assignment to get you away from learning Torah, and sometimes you really have to stop learning Torah. There's one time we heard there was a person, not in our community, who was in jail, and there was a mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim, and Hashem was saying, drop what you're doing now. This is a unique mitzvah. It only comes once every who knows how many years. And it fell in my lap. I said, guess what? The whole schedule's changed today because this mitzvah is much more important than whatever I could have planned. Right? So there's no arrogance. You got to remember, it's not my schedule. It's just trying to do what the boss wants me to do. So I'm trying to make a schedule that fits into that. So that's an incredible level to be at. And of course, tzaddikim measured the seconds. We should at least have some kind of a plan. If you know, when you have this kind of plan, you know what you find, what happens? You don't waste time. Where does TV, now make a schedule, where does TV fall into the schedule? It's not that you just happen to watch TV. Either you're going to decide to watch TV, or you're not going to decide, or you're going to decide to not watch TV. Do you understand how powerful this is? If you have no plans, then whatever comes, comes. this is interesting show, I'll flick it on. Wait a minute. You realize what you just decided? You decided to burn 2 hours of your life. You know. Where look what's coming out of that day, because that's happening. Right? People call for all kinds of things. They want me to speak here, speak there. I say, you know what? I can't. I got a job here. And as much as I'd like to speak for you, the answer is no. If it's an unusual situation that really can benefit Kleistel in an amazing way, then I got to think it through. Maybe it's opportunity, yes, to do it. But it's always with a plan, always with a cheshvan. We didn't even get to the main point. I got another minute. Okay, so now, when you look at such a tzaddik, bottom of the page, Vadam Aymed Vatam, a person stands and wonders. How could a person, an outsider looks, how could a person live with such tension, such intensity, spiritual tension all the time? As the Pasuk says, every minute is a test. A person on the outside looking at Reb Shlomo Zalman living his life, they're gonna say, "Liyos b'mesach t'midil nasokol daka." To live with such tension and take advantage of every second, so davar shul malam ikuchas anush. That's beyond expectation of a human being. Davar shal piderech teva near shev shalomo. It's something that nobody could do. Now the question is, why do people see it that way? Right? People look at these. Well, you're crazy. How can you have it all planned out? Like every minute you're worried this and that. Yeah, I couldn't live with that kind of stress. What's the answer? We'll just end with this next page. Where's the point buried? There's depth to this. But first we got to reflect. What is the point we got to understand? So I'll say it outside to not leave you with so much tension over the weekend. It's because they wanted to do it. Rav Shlomo Zalman wanted every minute to be close to Hashem. He had a strong wanting. And if there's a strong wanting, then you become very, particular that it gets done properly. And that's your pleasure. When you really want something, then the detail in which you work on it becomes your pleasure. The outsider isn't that excited about being an Eved Hashem, and all they see is the stress. You know, you look at these guys who give their whole lives for their jobs. The outsider looks, are you crazy? The guy says, I love it. Or he thinks he loves it, right? And if something you want to do, you make sure you do it properly the whole way, every second. You know, it's so, So it can be the same thing in Frumkeit. That's the problem. Is the Ratzon there? Is the Ratzon not there? The person really, really wants to be an Eved Hashem. He's got every second planned out and doesn't feel stressed out. He doesn't feel stressed out. When you're enjoying something, you don't feel stressed out. A guy's playing golf, right? From my perspective, the uneducated, what do you need such a stressful thing? You know, I have to concentrate and this and that, head down, knees straight, when followed through, this and that, and then, and with one little mistake, it goes the other direction. Who needs this? Right? But the guy who's the golfer, what are you talking about? It relaxes me. You hear such a word? It relaxes me. Relaxes me. Because they have the mindset for that. Right? So guess what? The tzaddik, this relaxes the tzaddik, that he knows every minute is being used properly.